Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
This is your town. This is your station. This is Waitley.
It's Geelong Cup Day in a premiership year. She might be a bit rowdy down the highway today. Love Geelong Cup Day. Build up to Cox Plate Day on Saturday. Wayne Hawks is back with me in the studio. Hello, Wayne.
Morning, Jared. How are you?
I'm well. How's your week going? Oh,
I'll tell you what, I think it came to a pinnacle last night. Right. I'll set this up. My 13-year-old daughter, Matilda, she's going tonight out with her girlfriend from school. Her dad's a very famous, influential person. I'm not going to name that name for obvious reasons. On the TV all the time, and I said, "Look, you know how to handle yourself. People are going to be all over him and everything. You know how to play it. Just take it easy and blah blah blah." I said, "Who is the most famous person you know on TV?" She goes, "Dad, Michael Hawks." I said, "Matilda." She goes, "All right, Jason Richardson, Richo from Racing.com." I said, "Okay, cool." She said, "Dad, I'm going to say it. Jared Waitley." I said, "Matilda, go to bed." That is fact what she said. They're the three famous people that she knows on TV, and you've got to mention. I sent her straight to bed. Whatever.
Have you got runners at Geelong?
I do have two runners at Geelong. Gee, it's going to be a warm day today. Yes,
warm,
I'm in the last.
Premiership year, late in the day.
Mike Moroney and Matthew Ellerton talk about this one time. They were walking down for the second last, and it was two girls that got into an altercation. They said it was the funniest thing they reckon they've ever seen. Those two guys, Matthew Ellett and Mike Moroney, still laugh about that today. 23 degrees down at Geelong. We haven't been out for a while. It'll be nearly their first year back after COVID.
Yeah,
looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Geelong's up and about. Premiership winner. Cup day. Half a day holiday down there. Are you getting down there back to your old gigs?
I can't. I've got a full afternoon. I'll be watching once I get home. I remember, there's a couple I remember vividly, but none more so than Media Puzzle.
Yeah, that was a big one, wasn't
it? Yeah. So
13 days into a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I'd have been working at Channel 10 at the time and went down there.
Huge.
And there was just a ripple around this
so
horse.
Good.
I think he was 5-1 or 6-1. Bit of extra
Dermot
curricular
Well,
punting.
One of the greatest men in the world, trainers in the world, brings a horse, goes all the way to Geelong and knocks them off, comes out and wins a Melbourne Cup 13 days later. The Geelong Cup should be raised higher in the esteem that it's in now because it's 13 days before the Melbourne Cup, and I think that race should be an exempt from ballot.
Yeah,
so we don't
race.
Have correct, so we don't have to stuff around with what weight does he have to give, because what happens, folks, is that if the winner today won't qualify because of the weight that it was given 8 weeks ago, the handicapper, funnily enough, just happens to give it a kilogram to make the race. So let's take that away from the handicapper, because he's sort of playing God a little bit with what runs in the race. Make this race exempt from the ballot, so if Mr. X or Miss X wins the race, if the handicapper then wants to re-handicap it for the Melbourne Cup, he's doing it from the point of view that I really think it does deserve half a kilo or 2 kilos or whatever.
Yeah, have you had, I was just thinking, did you have a lucky day running a Geelong Cup?
No. Hang on, gee, you're not bad. He ran in the Geelong Cup after
a couple of years later, maybe.
He had tuberculosis.
That's right.
Yeah, he ran second in the Melbourne Cup by an American, and third was So You Think. And then he had a couple of years on the sidelines, came back, but he was, he'd seen better days, but he ran well that day, but then we retired him after that. But the Geelong Cup's a great race, and you know what, today with 23 degrees, everyone's going to be down there and support it, and I have jumped the broom later in the day, and she's drawn a great barrier for a change.
Yep.
So I'm going to be right there in the thick of things.
Yeah.
I'd still like you to get down there.
Not today, but there's a couple of really interesting. So Rodrigo Diaz is the horse that we know nothing about yet, which fits the mold of some of the internationals who've come over. Interpretation we saw in the Bart Cummings, ran a nice third there. And I noticed, I was reading David used to say, we think he's a proper cups horse and desperate to win today to get him in. And then there's a nice blend of locals as well. So, interesting race.
Setting up for a good day.
You have been counting down over the past few weeks your favourite Cox Plate memories for Moonee Valley Racing Club. Celebrate a centenary of legendary this Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. So you've had Red Anchor, Superimpose and Winx's third. I rather loved your restraint in holding this one back till last.
Here's Octagonal and Germ with a mighty run. Then getting through is on the inside Mahogany. Mahogany rails up with Octagonal at the 200-metre marker on the outside Octagonal. Mahogany coming at him. Stride for stride now on the Cox Plate. Mahogany, Octagonal, Octagonal, Mahogany. Octagonal's got his nose in front. Octagonal wins the Cox Plate. Wins it ahead, Mahogany. Two lengths away, third station hand.
It is one of the great Cox Plates. What's your most vivid memory of that day?
It was just a day that it's amazing. I'm getting goosebumps now. The long and the short, we had Flavour and the two-year-old, and people listening knows Flavour was the quaddy killer. He's a great old horse. He won from 2 to 9 years of age. Flavour won the two-year-old. Donar won the Amy Vars, and our third run of the day was Octagonal in the Cox Plate, and John Hawkes put on his Tom Cruise sunglasses and had a tear in his eye and said, this horse is going to be a champion. And for what people know of John Hawkes, it takes a lot to get a comment out of him, let alone a quote like that. So he was proven right, funnily enough. And we had 8 winners on the day around the country. Wow. We had winners in Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane that day. And my brother was working at the stables in Queensland, and he'd flown down and stood on top of a willy bin at the 200-metre mark, Jared, and watched the race. And he had so much money after the race, he had money stuck in his socks. This is a true story, because his pockets were full of money because he'd backed winner after winner after winner. Now the bugger's broke, but that's another story for another time. But 8 winners on Cox Plate Day around the country, but to have 3 runners and 3 winners, and I remember someone dared me to do a cartwheel through the mountain enclosure, and I actually did that. And this day and age, someone would have videoed it and be out there on TikTok or something. But Cox Plate Day, it's where the great horses come. And you know what? Other than a 3-year-old in the race this year, which we just don't have one, I don't even know whether we had one good enough, did we, to even run?
But I don't think so.
Yeah, we've got a race assembled that I reckon 6 months ago people were going, it mightn't be that great a race. It's going to be a hell of a race on Saturday.
Experience the ultimate mates day out with racing, food, drinks, and one legendary party in the Ladbrokes Mated Mode Carnival Zone. So it's really interesting. I'll probably play with this a little bit more tomorrow. So this time last year, Zaki was regarded as a Cox Plate certainty. Animo was coming out of the Guineas. This year, Animo's been regarded as a Cox Plate certainty, and Zaki, who didn't get to run in last year's race, has drawn barrier one, and we sort of, you've got the visual on how that's going to pan out.
An Alligator Blood's drawn wide. He's a natural leader, so you'd think where Mooney Valley's hard work, if you don't draw the perfect barrier, is the straight, I think's 175 metres long, and you're at the back of that, so you've got like 220 metres to the winning post. You go 20 yards, then you do a hard left. And literally is a hard left and down the hill. So you need to be in your position by the time you get the winning post, and invariably someone's always caught napping and just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. And you get the winning post with a lap to go, and you know you're beat straight away. So it's a game of tactics out of the barriers. There's no doubt about that.
So it is a quirky track. What do you like the racing at Mooney Valley?
I've liked Mooney Valley. You look at you smiling at me. I've liked Mooney Valley until this season. The track hasn't been playing that well.
Right.
It's been tough this season. I was against them removing Mooney Valley, because the people that don't know, the winning post is going to be shifted to the 500-metre mark. It's going to go from literally, it's a square Mooney Valley, and it's going to go from one street and be pushed to another street to allow the track to be wider so we can get a bigger field capacity. They're going to redo the whole track. Race, the horses are going to be on the inside. We're going to walk through tunnels to the horses, and it's going to be revamped Mooney Valley. And when one of the committeemen showed me the plans, I was a bit blown away and thought, we don't do enough of this. We don't build enough Marvel stadiums and things like that in our racing industry. So this is a great thing. But yeah, the track just hasn't played as good as what it can.
Would you rather have a natural leader or a back market going to Mooney Valley?
You want a horse that races, not necessarily just a leader, but you want an on the pace horse.
Yep.
If not talking Cox Plate Day, but if you're talking generally having a bet, when the further the rail goes out, you don't have to be a genius to work out that the easiest place to be is 1, 2, 3, 4. If you look at the 10 horse field, 3 or 4 can't win, 3 or 4 are leaders, the other 2 are back markers. You're only down to about 3 or 4 chances straight off the bat. So I'm not a professional punter, but I would think they would make it would make it easier for them when they're punting at the Valley.
Yeah. So Octagonal was the a crowning moment.
And he beat Mahogany, and Mahogany was a horse of the year.
Yeah, that was such a golden age of weight for age racing, I think. Lonro didn't, and it was sort of, well, did he run odds on twice? He certainly ran long odds on once.
Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah, like
just twice, Jared, and he was running. The crazy thing with him was he was running against Northerly and Sunline, and I reckon one of Lonro had many great days. I reckon one of his greatest days was in the race that Might and Power won 2 weeks ago. The race called the Might and Power that Animo won 2 weeks ago, and he went nose and nose with Sunline for the top of the stage to the winning post.
Yeah.
Peter Hegney, former William Inglis boss, came up to me and said, "I back Sunline," and then all of a sudden I'm cheering for Lonro, and that set it up, and that's the greatness of great horses. And he did everything. He went to Flemington and won a McKinnon from an impossible spot and things like that. He won all over Victoria and New South Wales. But as soon as he went to the Strathair at Moonee Valley, Lonro just lost a gear and lost a leg. And old Fields of Omar, excuse me, I think beat him the first year. But because it rained that day, and Beebman said he just wasn't the same horse. But funnily enough, his second race start that he fell in on the Kenzo at Randwick. And the Kenzo at that stage was the same surface as Moonee Valley, and he just didn't go.
Right.
And the bottom line is this. If you don't go at the MCG, you won't win a grand final, Jared. And Lonro didn't win the ultimate grand final, and he got kicked twice. But he could come out 2 weeks later, another venue, and win. But there's no point winning at the Gabba if you're Brisbane Lions. You've got to come to the MCG and win. It's as simple as that.
And did you think Viscount should have got the protest?
Kick the crap
out
of Hawks Day?
Northerly and Sunline?
That was an amazing, amazing race. I'd love to see that now. There was a dual.
He was a higher profile horse. So the whole race was geared around Northerly and Sunline.
Correct.
And here's this 3-year-old poking up in the middle. And I always pondered if he had been a higher profile horse, what that all looks like.
See, that was the karma, because Lonro won the Caulfield Guineas and he was Cox Plate favourite. We put Lonro in the paddock, and before that was announced what we were doing, I got 25s about Viscount. He came into about 12-1 for the race, and he got smashed from pillar to post between Northerly and Sunline, and Kieran McAvoy rode Viscount and said he dead set was galloping for two strides on air. He said both horses, when he got crunched, pushed him up and he got carted along with them for two strides, and that was right at the winning post. Gee, we've had some controversial finishes in the Cox Plate. That's exactly right. You know what I mean? So he was a great horse. It's another 3-year-old that nearly got the job done. It does prove this race that the best 3-year-olds certainly can do a job.
Yep. The Dragon is with us in Greenvale. The Dragon, welcome aboard.
How you going, Wayne?
Good, thanks, Dragon.
We've got to talk about the mighty Pyroy. Get around him.
Are you in Pyroy?
Yes, I am.
So,
love him.
There was 20% of the horse went to about 400,000 different people. A mate of mine bought 20 shares in him to $250 a pop. Pyroy won last Saturday at Newcastle, Jared, and for the people that don't know, racehorse.
Oh, right.
My racehorse bought 20% of the horse, was syndicated out, and what was it, Dragon? $260 a pop, was it?
It might have been even $220.
Oh, it's even cheaper. Look how cheap you've got it. Yeah. You've done well. So he bolted in at Newcastle last Saturday, Jared. And he doesn't like wet tracks, but it was – so I reckon there'd be 2,500 owners in this horse, and it wouldn't matter what – I guarantee you, someone that's not listening to this program right now, right, I will go to Geelong today and someone to walk up and go, I don't know about your chance to stay, how's Pyroy?
Right.
You own a share? Yes, I own a millionth of him, but I'm quite happy. So it gives people with a small share a chance to own a big horse, and he was a $1.4 million yearling.
Wow.
My racehorse took 20%, and thus Pyroy came along, and he won and won quite well last set at Newcastle. Haven't decided what we're really going to go with him and nail it down. He doesn't like wet tracks, so we've got to dodge the wet tracks. And for the record, the beautiful gift that keeps on giving is Sydney weather. It's due to pour with rain next week in Sydney.
Yes, Yes, isn't that classic? Wayne Hawkes is in the studio for Westbury Studs. It's all about success with Tarzino at Westbury. Not that long ago, you floated the idea of the horse heaven here in Melbourne. And that is moving closer with the parcel of land bought by Racing Victoria. We'll get you to put your view as what should be built there when the time for decision-making comes. Future projects is, you were talking, it was inside the past 12 months, Wayne, about the legacy piece that might be constructed by Racing Victoria. And I noticed that on Monday it was announced that the parcel of land has been bought and now blue sky thinking, what to build?
It's 1,000 acres, so which is fantastic.
And where is it?
It's let's just say it's just past the edge end of the runway.
Yep.
On the north side, I suppose, is the easiest way to describe it. I haven't been there personally, but I just wish they would have announced it in about 3 weeks' time, when after Melbourne Cup week, when it was clear air, because this is huge for racing. This is monumental stuff. And they've sort of, it's in between Caulfield Cup and Cox Plate. I reckon they could have been a bit better with that, because
what would you build?
What would I build? I would build two racetracks, summer track and a winter track, and a purpose winter track with winter grass for winter racing, summer track, a winter track, a trial track, and then a heap of training tracks on the inside of it. And then all the way around the outside, I would build stables, because they would become a windbreak. Then we could have other training tracks off it. Racing Victoria goes there. Everything goes there. And we start our own Newmarket of England or our Chantilly of France. And this is our legacy. The Racing Museum and all that sort of stuff. Let's put it all out there. And let's get kids at schools to come out and see the real deal of what actually goes on and what we do in our industry. Because there's a hell of a lot more. For the people that aren't racing people, you look at it and go, it's just punting. No, it's not. I mean, I'm not a punter myself and I'm a racehorse trainer. I really am not. So there's so many jobs out there for people in our industry. So you know what? That's what we need to do with the legacy. Now, it's an open book, so the CEO said, which is great, but we got one chance of getting this right and we need to get it right.
Would you be happy to finish your training days out there?
100% I would. I would move. There's nothing wrong with Flemington, but then if we move from Flemington, Flemington would then extend their track on the home circle and it would be a half a mile run home at Flemington, and then we'd put an inner track in at Flemington. We race here 26, 28 times a year. It's not enough for the great 300 acres that we have. We then go out the back to where I suppose the suburbs, Mickleham, I'm assuming, or Tullamarine, Mickleham it would be. So we'd go out there. It'd just reinvigorate us at Flemington to do something new, something different, and I'd love to go out there and finish my training career 100%.
Would the internationals be trained out there? Would the quarantine centre be there?
You would have to do it, because they could be over in one corner,
yep,
and they have a 400, 500 metre race where they walk along to get to the tracks. What we did in Hong Kong when Chautauqua went there was all the Hong Kong people worked their horses. They all went away and went to bed. Out came the internationals. Morris, Chautauqua, they all rolled out between 8:45 and 9:30, and you waddled out and did what you did, and they worked on exactly the same tracks. I've said it before on this show, Werribee is not the showpiece for the internationals to come and to be at. Werribee was a band-aid from Sandown for our quarantine. We need to build it out there and give them the biggest and the best, and we need a racetrack out there as well. There's no point just building a training track if you're going to build all the other infrastructure. So you only need a small grandstand. We don't need a monumental one like we do at Flemington or Caulfield, but you just have a grandstand out there that behind the grandstand or in the grandstand would be seating for 800 people. We hold all of our own events there, you know, our Hall of Fames, all of that sort of stuff. Let's make this as racing showpiece and make it the legacy for Victorian racing.
Shanty is, it's obviously beautiful. I've only seen...
I was there 3 months ago.
I have been to Newmarket, which is...
Same.
Yeah, it's a world unto itself, isn't it?
It's Hawaii if you love the beach. It's Vegas if you love you love the gambling. I mean, that's what it is for horse racing. And John O'Neill has said, you know, very elegant is over there living in Shanty and living a life. And if I came back as a horse, I'd want to come back and live at Newmarket or Shanty. There's no doubt about it. We have the chance to actually do this in Melbourne. In the CBD, I mean, this is nuts. I mean, it's a great initiative for Racing Victoria. And I think the CEO's great line was, and every year we don't touch the land, the price of it goes up. I mean, how good We'd normally, most people in most sporting industries love selling off pieces of land to pay for previous debt from the previous people that ran it. This is such – I'm actually excited about it. I really, really am, but I'm just praying that the powers that be get it right, and we get it right from the get-go, and we just build this into something special. I mean, to put in perspective, Jared, Flemington's 302 acres.
Yep.
So that would be Flemington plus the showgrounds and some. I mean, it is a massive piece of land. Obviously, all of it's not flat, but that's okay. We might have an uphill rise and things like that. And could we have a mile-long straight and we have a different racetrack there where they all just come up there one day? We have 1,000-metre to 1,600-metre races in a straight line. I mean, let's do crazy stuff. Let's do new initiatives. We're in the year 2022. Bring racing to the, you know, to the front, and people probably get sick of them going around in circles. I don't know.
Do you know if a lot of people are of your way of thinking, of this as a possibility?
There's one thing about racehorse trainers. If you get 30 blokes in a room, we'll have 27 different opinions. Yep. But I'm sure that would be 18 different AFL footy coaches. We'd have 14 different opinions. Yep. But we need to go with the general consensus. But we need to be building great, great infrastructure that's going to be there for a long time. And with 1,000 acres, there's so many bolt-ons that can be for – 5 CEOs later can come in with the new initiative, and we might build 2 tracks there. Like, seriously, build 2 different tracks, and we've got so much land and everything. And it's right near, you know, arterials that are massive freeways, and it's easy to get to and everything like that. So I just hope they can get a train line to come in to the racetrack out there, because how would you be if you where do you live, Camberwell?
Ashburton.
In a better suburb. Sorry, my mistake. Ashburton, you go into Southern Cross. Southern Cross, there's a train on race day straight out to the racetrack. How good would that be? Everyone piles on and piles off like they do at the MCG before and after a match. You'd have to drink drive, things like that. You don't have to worry about a taxi or an Uber. We need to be smart about this. We've got one opportunity to leave the greatest legacy Victorian racing going to be able to do. And you know what? Where Sydney is situated, you've got the Southern Highlands, which is open, but it's freezing cold. Then you've got the Great Dividing Range all the way around Sydney. They're hamstrung by land to be able to do something like this. And we are 30 kilometres from the CBD in downtown suburbia that we're getting the chance to build a new market in Shaunti. Yeah. It is exciting.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can hear the passion in the way that you're talking about it. It's for the visionaries.
It's for my kids and the next people in the next generation. But let's leave something great behind, and you know, get TAFE courses, get a uni, get Westfield there, do whatever we got to do, and get a bit of income back in as well, and just make this as the great, great racing hub, and make it so that every aspiring young trainer wants to go and train there.
Yep, yep. Will you have anything at the Valley Friday night or Saturday?
I won't have anything at Friday night. I'll be watching from afar. Saturday, I've got Fujita San in the Amy Vars. And
He going?
Yeah, he's going super. It's his chance. Well, you've got to run big, a.k.a. you've pretty much got to be winning and winning well to back up 7 days later in a VRC derby. So fingers crossed there. But Fujita San's going very, very well. And I don't ever run a Friday night. I just don't ever run it. It's simple as that.
And have you bumped into James Cummings since you decided to tip Alligator Blood to beat Animo, which was an odd thing to do on Monday, but each to their own.
Well, look what Alligator Blood's drawn wide. He's going to come across, and, you know, I said at the top of the show, it's going to be a game of tactics, but I did tip Alligator Blood 2 starts ago, yeah. And he won. So, you know what? Nah, James and I are very, very close, so I haven't given him a rib up. I did, actually. He took Animo to Mooney Valley last Saturday morning. I was only 7 days after he won at Caulfield, not fit enough yet. Fair enough.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask
you. You did. I'm leading you in there.
Right. So my idea, Wayne, now I concede off the top that in your years you didn't take Lonro to Mooney Valley. There was one year that I had to skip breakfast with the best to come and shoot the gallop of Lonro, and I'd spoken to you and you said, oh, come here. And it was
Geez, you hold a grudge.
And I said, that's all right. Lonro, if I miss Lonro, I'll give it away. Do you know what happened? I walked into Flemington and this horse went galloping by and thought, oh, I think that's Lonro. Totally missed the gallop.
Love it.
Blew the trip.
Love it. There you go, folks. Jared Whateley does make mistakes. You do make mistakes. Wow.
I think it should be a condition of entry into how special the build-up of the Cox Plate is to take your horse on Tuesday to breakfast with the best – and gallop, knowing that the track is open to you every time you want it. There have been Cox Plate horses galloping there for weeks on Saturday mornings, and the reverse is we need you here on Tuesday morning for this pinnacle build up to the race.
Okay, that's good from your point of view, from the public's point of view, from the press's point of view, that you're going to get there and see them all. Let's look at Animo. What, and I have no idea about this, what if Animo's big gallop was last Saturday morning? Tuesday he was going for a jog around the block in human tombs.
Only has to be a jog. It's just be there. It's like in grand final week, open training session is a kick and giggle. It's not the lock-in tactically. It's just it's an exhibition. Come, we want to see the build up to the race. So on Tuesday, you work however you like. If you want to walk him around on a lead, walk him around on a lead.
It's not a dog.
But you just have to be there.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but every time you get a horse, you take him out of his own environment, you put him on the float, you take him off the float at Moonee Valley, you put him on the float, you bring him back to Flemington, there's always more risk of something going wrong. And that was the famous Tony Jones when he said to me, before the Cox Plate, the Caulfield Guineas winner All Too Hard, they'd lined up a press conference on the Thursday morning. And they got the press conference and Tony Jones said, where's the horse? All Too Hard. I said, I'm not bringing him out. They said, well, what do you mean you're not bringing him out? This is a press conference. I said, I'm not bringing him out. And this is before the cameras were even rolling. Yep. And I said, that's it. He goes, why not? He said, Peter Moody brings Black Caviar out. And I said, well, Black Caviar's worth $5 million and All Too Hard's worth $26 million because she can only have one foal a year and he's going to have 200 a year. Tony didn't like that very much, but that is fact what was said. We kissed and made up after that. But I didn't want to take All Too Hard out of his own environment.
Yep.
Wanted to keep him at home, keep him where he is, and just for not hiding the horse. You can't hide him. But it was more from the training regime that we wanted to do with him. Some trainers would like to go to Moonee Valley just to give their horse a bit of a spark up and let them know, have a look around the track, go there. So they come back 5 days later and they go, oh, yeah, I've been here before. I've been in these same race stalls. And if I was going, I'd put him in my race stalls because we normally get the allotted stalls each week. So that there's a plus. But I think what you're doing is you're then making trainers and owners do things that they don't want to do in training. But I understand your criteria would be to make them do it.
You'd manage it.
If we said to you
12 months out, Wayne, the only way to win the Cox Plate is to be there on Tuesday morning, you go, no worries, see you on Tuesday morning.
So, okay, devil's advocate. Then Peter Volandi says, we're going to run a $5 million 2,000-metre race on the same day and you don't have to turn up.
Nah. I reckon the Cox Plate has that hold.
Yes.
Is to complete a proper CV.
Yes, it does.
The Cox Plate needs to be on it.
Yes, but I've got my racehorse trainer's hat on here, and I think asking that would be too much. Is it that big a hoo-ha? From a media point of view, Tuesday morning, is it that good?
I think it helps the build up to the race. So I think back to, so 86, there's so much that's captured from 86. Bonecrusher and Waverley Star were both there on the Tuesday morning, and it plays a huge role in the build up to it. It's there on the VHS, the race of the century. So it lives. It lives from this build up on Tuesday all the way through the week. So you want each race to be distinct. And I think that Tuesday used to be bigger than it is
now. The only way
to reinstall it is to ask everyone to be there.
Yeah, look, they're certainly for and against. It's good pub talk, and you've just yet again, Waitley, you've just created another first here on mornings on Waitley on SEN.
You're good pub talk. That much I know. Oh, this is from Richo. Favorite hawks is in order: Matilda, Jane, and John.
He texted in. Good on you. Good morning, Richo. Not.
Wayne Hawks for, Tarzino, Reliable Man, Redwood, and El Rocker, each providing success in more ways than one at Westbury Stud. See you for the Monday means test.
See you, mate.